gospel reading today continues on that theme of Advent to show us the great power of the coming of the Messiah. And one of the prophecies of the Messiah is that indeed the lame would walk. And Jesus fulfills that prophecy today in our gospel through this healing of this man who is paralyzed. But Jesus does more than that. In fact, he says that he does more than that. He says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Of all the prophecies about the Messiah, that he would come and heal the blind, the lame, and the crippled, the deaf, and the dumb, the mute, no prophecy ever spoke about God himself coming and forgiving the sins of people in person. And so perhaps we can see a little bit why the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were caught off guard. And rightly, they say, "Who but God alone can forgive sins? And who then is this Jesus? And just who does he think he is to say to this man, 'Your sins are forgiven'?" But it's interesting because Jesus seems to imply that anyone could say, "Your sins are forgiven." He says, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? I guess what he's trying to say there is if you say to someone your sins are forgiven, what is the proof that that has happened? Whereas if you say to someone rise and walk, well, you're going to know pretty quickly if that person really has the power to do that. So Jesus says, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise and walk? Well, he says, well, that you might know that I do indeed have this power, I'll do this miracle that you can see and prove that you might come to believe in the greater miracle, that I can indeed say that your sins are forgiven. Ultimately, then, to lead us to the correct conclusion that the scribes and Pharisees had in the beginning. Who but God alone can forgive sins? Who indeed? Jesus is indeed God. There's another important part of this gospel, I think, though, that especially in our world today that we tend to miss, and that is that this man who is healed, he doesn't do that on his own. He has the need of people to bring him to Jesus. In fact, they open the roof and lower him in, and Jesus looks at them, and it says something very interesting. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, meaning the ones of the friends that lowered him through the roof, he looks at the man who is crippled and he says, then as for you, your sins are forgiven. It is because of the faith of those who bring him to Jesus. And I think that is an important message for us today, as so many people who have a great encounter with Jesus, they give their lives over to Jesus and want to follow him. There is a tendency today to look at all the many ways in which we might follow Jesus and see all the sinners that are Christians and say, you know what, I really don't want to have much to do with all those other sinners. I'll just have my relationship with Jesus, and that will be enough. Why do I need to go to a priest, for instance, to have my sins forgiven? I'll just go straight to God. Well, our gospel reading today clearly shows us that we don't go to God just on our own, particularly when we are paralyzed and crippled in our sins. We need others, and that is the church. Perhaps no one better than St. Ambrose, our saint today, was a defender of the church. And Ambrose was very important because he defended the church, particularly when it was hard to see the church as that beautiful, pure, shining example of what it should be. There was much to look at the church and criticize in the time of Ambrose. But he said something very important. It comes from our office of readings today, from the second reading. This is a letter that St. Ambrose wrote to someone who had just been made bishop himself. He says, "You have entered upon the office of bishop. Sitting at the helm of the church, you pilot the ship against the waves. Take firm hold of the rudder of faith, so that the severe storms of this world could not disturb you. The sea is mighty and vast, but do not be afraid, for as Scripture says, he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. The church of the Lord is built upon the rock of the apostles, among so many dangers in the world, it therefore remains unmoved. The church's foundation is unshakable and firm against the assaults of the raging sea. Waves lash at the church, but do not shatter it. Although the elements of this world constantly beat upon the church with crashing sounds, the church possesses the safest harbor of salvation for all in distress. Although the church is tossed about on the sea, it rides easily on the rivers. I think that is an important lesson to all of us. It is not that life in the church will be without waves and torment, both from without and from within. We have our own share of scandals, from just us ordinary Christian sinners in the church all the way up through the bishops and the popes. But Ambrose says it best: the church provides the safest harbor. For this is where God gathers together all his faithful, we who need each other on this journey of faith, that we know God has put his bishops indeed as pilot and steersman of the ship of the church. So as we make our journey to God, we know that we do so not alone. Just as the one in the gospel today had his friends bring him to have his sins forgiven, so we come as members of God's church, trusting in his words to St. Peter that this is the rock upon which his church is founded, and he will not allow this ship of his church to crash, that he will protect us, that all together we will be brought to Jesus. May we stay close and secure in this ship, the bark of Peter, all the days of our life, that we may find safe harbor at the end of our lives with Jesus and all of our brothers and sisters forever.